Last week, Randy, our equipping pastor, another teaching pastor, he began our message series stressed out, and he gave you this, he said, just being very, telling the truth that he doesn't get worried too much. He's kind of chill, doesn't get stressed out, and I've worked with him for 10 years, and that is true. He doesn't. He doesn't get stressed out. He's not detached. It's not that he cares. He does care. He just does not waste energy on things that he has no control over or things that are not his responsibility. He is very chilled about that. And to tell you the truth, I'll tell you, I don't get stressed out about much either. I am not a worrying type, let me rephrase that, I don't worry that much, although I will admit I am wound a little tighter than Randy. I am. And the difference is I do sometimes care about things of which I have no control over, and I do care about some things of which are not my responsibility. The problem is I care about way too much. For instance, I care about recycling. I do. I pull recyclables out of the trash can where they do not belong and put them in the recycling bin where they belong. Anybody with me? Okay, that's not good enough. Listen, you got to know, I went to MLK 50 in Memphis and worshiped for 2 days. We had church, and my African-American brothers and sisters, when they agree with the preacher, they didn't just go, amen, or yeah, or a little polite clap. They stood. They just stood, you know. I stood up with them a couple times. Yeah. And so let me try this again. I care about recycling. I pull things out of the trash can that recycles and put them where they belong. Do I have a witness? Will somebody please stand. There we go. I know. Now we got that now. I wonder why here in the year 2018, people do not realize that blue trash cans and blue bags are for recycling. That's what blue stands for. I still do not understand how somebody can put a piece of paper in a trash can when there's a blue recycling container right next to it. Now I'm getting stressed out thinking about it, so I'm not going to go there. Randy doesn't stress out about those kinds of things. Randy is not concerned about people who don't recycle. Randy doesn't really care that people don't know what the color blue is for. And he probably doesn't even care anyway, and that stresses me a little bit too. Yeah. It's not just the environment, though. I care about way too much. I care about politics. I care about the news. I care a great deal about justice. I care about the economy. I care about Freeport rebounding because it reminds me of my hometown of Orange, Texas, and both of them have hit hard times, but I believe that brighter days are ahead. I care about that. I care about traffic on Highway 288, and I care. I really care about people driving slow in the fast lane. I got a witness. There we go. Okay. All you people who just never think about it, get out of the fast lane. Get over to the right, okay? Save me some stress. I really do. I care. There's a line in an old hymn that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Well, I'm prone to worry. I am. I'm prone to, but listen, this is important. I'm prone to, but I just don't go there that much anymore. When I find myself beginning to wander in that direction, I just pull back because I know it's not any good. Now, I can still get a little stressed out about some things. I can get a little stressed out about finishing my sermon prep on Wednesday so that Ronnie, our small groups pastor, can write those message notes that you have that he put the wrong verse in. I'll tell you about that in a second. I can get stressed out about that, and I can get stressed out so that you can have those message notes to talk about my stress in your small groups when you talk about this week's topic. Take a breath here. I can get stressed out about things breaking and leaving me with a very expensive repair bill. I can get stressed out about that. I can get stressed out about my health and not getting fat. Listen, I am prone to worry. I understand that about myself. I get that about myself, but in all truthfulness, just like Randy, I really don't go there that much, not like I used to. And the reason for it is Jesus Christ, and more specifically, my trust in Jesus. So I want to tell you about that this morning. I want to talk about that. If you have your Bible, open it up to Luke chapter 12, verses 22. It says Acts in your message notes. It's just a misprint. I guess I've already thrown Ronnie under the bus with that. Sorry, Ronnie. It's Luke 12, 22 to 34 is what we're going to look at. Now, if you don't have a Bible, we're going to put the words up on the screen for you. But we prefer you have a Bible. You follow in your Bible to where you can write in it and circle things and take it home and read more about it, read around the context around it. So you could receive a Bible from us. Just walk out to the Welcome Center after the service, and we'd be glad to give you a Bible. Then we can follow along with us. Luke is one of four different biographies. We call them Gospels of Jesus. Four different men wrote about the story of Jesus. And they're in the New Testament Bible, which is about three-fourths of the way across the Bible. So go to Luke chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 22 with this lesson that Jesus talked about being stressed out and the need to not worry. So he started this way. Then Jesus, verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." This wasn't the first time Jesus told his disciples this. At least one other time, he told them this when he was giving a talk before a lot of people in a famous talk known as the Sermon on the Mount. He said almost these very same words. As a matter of fact, this day that he's talking to his disciples, just before that, he had spoken to a large crowd, and he had finished his discussion with them with this parable called the Parable of the Rich Fool, where he was warning everybody in the crowd not to set your heart on wealth or possessions or things, because they can be gone like that. Then after he finished that talk, he went and reinforced what he'd already taught his disciples once before. He reinforced and he looked at him. He said, "Don't worry. Don't worry about the food you're going to eat. Don't worry about your clothes. I've got this covered." The Greek word that Luke used when he was recording that conversation, the Greek word he used for worry, merimneo, could also be translated just as easily, distracted. Don't be worried. Don't be distracted. Don't let your mind turn away to these things. Don't be distracted. Don't be anxious about what you're going to eat or about what you're going to wear, because life is so much bigger than that. Yes, it's important, but not important enough to worry about. It's the same point Jesus made often. It's the same point that Randy talked about last week when he told Jesus' story about Mary and Martha. Jesus said, "Martha, you're worried about so many things. There's just one thing you need to be concerned about." You see, it's a common lesson that Jesus taught many times. It's throughout the New Testament. His followers taught it as well. Write this down. This is kind of picking up where Randy left off last week. Worry is a sign that I am focused on lesser things. If you're worrying about something, your focus is in the wrong place. It's living with a small view of life. Lesser things are not necessarily wrong things. It's not necessarily bad to be concerned about them, but when you cross over into worry, it means we've just given them too much of a priority, too high a priority. Jesus gives three reasons why we don't need to worry, three practical reasons from nature. The first, in verse 24, he says to his disciples, "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They don't plant. They don't harvest. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds." Ravens were considered among the lowest rank of living creatures. So Jesus is saying, if God feeds them, the almost the lowest of creatures, he'll certainly feed you, his highest creation. We are God's highest creation. You don't need to worry about where your next meal is coming from. Now, this was a radical challenge for poor people who made up most of Jesus' audience. They lived day to day. They literally didn't usually know where their next meal was coming from, certainly not the next day. So if they became unconcerned about providing food for their family or clothes for their family could be in peril quickly. It was an important thing, but Jesus still said, that's not what you need to be overly concerned about. That's not what you need to be spending time worrying about. It was a radical concept for the not so poor as well. Just as the poor could be overly concerned about their food, folks who are not so poor could be overly concerned about their success. And that's why Jesus had told the parable of the rich fool just earlier when he was talking to the larger crowd. We're all prone to worry. The truth is, we're all prone to worry about some things. Some of us worry much more than others, but it's kind of built into us to be worried because it's built into us to get our focus off of the main thing, which is God. So Jesus discouraged the wealthy from concentrating on success and comfort. And he discouraged the people who were not wealthy from concentrating on their discomfort and their misery. Look at verse 25. He said, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Now, the word, again, that Luke used in the Greek language that the New Testament was written in, the word he used for single hour actually was a measurement called a cubit. A cubit's about 18 inches long. It was a measurement from the elbow to the tip of the finger. And Jesus is saying, who of you by worrying can add this much to your life? You can't do it. You can't even do that. Worry is useless. It's unproductive. It's never going to help you. It's never going to do anything. It's going to do the opposite. okay? It shortens and lessens your life. Write this down. Worry never adds. It's never an accomplishment. It never brings about anything good, but it can take away. Worry can take away. It takes away quality of life, and it can actually take away days and years, literally, off your life. Stress can make your head hurt, your intestines retch, and it can make your blood pressure soar, which can cause all kinds of problems. And Jesus said, this is good news, folks. You don't have to live like that. You really can get control of this thing called worry. He gives another example from nature to make his point. Verse 27, he says, consider how the wildflowers grow. Now, even today, beautiful flowers grow wild along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus taught a lot of lessons. If you want to think about us here, I think about the beautiful wildflowers, the bluebonnets especially, I saw in the Texas Hill Country last week. Jesus said, think about them. Think about these wildflowers, how they grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon. Solomon was Israel's richest and best-dressed king. He said, not even Solomon, all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And if God clothes nature better than the richest king was ever dressed, he'll clothe you. And what he's saying is to doubt that God will meet your needs is to doubt God. And that's why he said, you of little faith, which, you see, worry not only takes away life, this is the more important thing, worry expresses a lack of faith. If you are a worrier, then what Jesus is saying is that then your faith is not what it should be. It's not focused in the right place. It demonstrates this lack of faith. That's the main problem with worry. If you worry about this, that, and everything else, the more it exposes that you really don't trust Jesus. It's a matter of trusting him. Faith is believing in Jesus even when you can't see him meeting your needs. That is, it's just trusting him. When you don't believe that, when you don't believe Jesus will meet your needs, when you start to believe that you have to be in control and it's all on you and you have to take care of it, and then you realize you can't, that you don't have near as much control as you thought you did or should, stress can begin to overwhelm you. It's a heart problem. It really is. Now, it's not an absence of faith. It's just a deficiency of faith. That's why Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. You see, you probably believe Jesus is God. You just don't believe he's got your back. You're not really sure that he cares that much about you, that he really will take care of you. It's a heart issue, and it's about a lack of faith. So Jesus makes it simple. Look at verse 29. He talks about the heart. He says, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. Pagan refers to any people who operate outside of God's values. It could be the Gentiles, it could be non-God-believing Jews, anyone that would be pagan. They run after everything but God, and their hearts are set on many things, not one thing. So they worry what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, how much money they have. They worry about how the economy is going. They worry about what people think about them, and on and on and on. So many things to worry about. And Jesus is saying, you don't have to set your heart on all those things. You don't have to worry like the pagans who don't know me worry. You don't have to go there. He's not suggesting to be idle or unconcerned about our responsibilities. He's not saying don't work. We have to work. I mean, even the ravens, they go out and they go and they get food, but God provides it for them. But they still have to go get it. He's saying worry won't do a thing for you. It just will never, ever help you in the least of ways. But I will. I know what you need, Jesus says. I'll take care of you. You know, I read this. Worry is like an engine racing. It's like racing your engine when your car is in neutral. You're burning up gas, you're putting undue stress on the engine, and you're still not going anywhere. That's what Jesus wants us to avoid. And the reason that we can avoid that is because he will make sure we have what we need. You don't have to be concerned about many things, Jesus said. You just need to be concerned about one thing, and he's bringing it to a point here. Verse 31, he says, but seek his kingdom, seek God's kingdom. And these things will be given to you as well. So write this down in your message notes, okay? Set your heart, it's a heart thing, set your heart upward towards God. Set your heart upward. Aim for one thing, and that's the kingdom of God, and he'll take care of the rest. He's saying you can count on it. You put me first, put God first, I'll take care of the rest. And that's what it is. It's a first things first kind of deal. Jesus never, he never denied the importance of things that we own. He just simply said they should not be our priority. He wants us to set our hearts upward on him. Let me give you an example. Some of you may remember years ago, a hot air balloon called the Double Eagle 2. It was the first hot air balloon ever to successfully cross the Atlantic. And but part of the problem, there was some drama before it finished its journey. As the Double Eagle 2 neared the coast of Ireland, they went into real heavy cloud cover, and the temperature dropped. Ice sheets began to form on the top of the balloon and began to weight it down, and they began losing altitude. They were at 20,000 feet when they were approaching the coast, and they very quickly, before they got to the coast, they dropped down to 10,000 feet and continued dropping. The crew began throwing everything they could overboard. They threw their food rations overboard. They threw their video cameras. At 4,000 feet, as they're really dropping fast, at 4,000 feet, they radioed in their position, and then they threw their radio overboard, and it continued to drop. They needed one thing, and only one thing. They needed altitude. They needed to go back up before they crashed into the ocean. When they got down to 3,000 feet, they broke into the sunlight. The clouds pulled back. The ice began breaking off and falling off of the balloon in sheets, and they gained altitude. They got what they needed because they had dropped all this other off to keep themselves afloat. And then they gained altitude, and they sailed all the way into France before they landed it. You see, worry is like that ice that weights us down. It was on the balloon. And it keeps you from setting your heart upward to God. When you have a lot of problems, you don't need to be focused on the problems. You need to be focusing on God and setting your heart towards him. And it could be caused, that weight could be caused by any number of things. It could be an activity or a hobby or a sport that you or your kids just don't have time for, but you don't think about that. You don't have to do that. It could be a house or car payment that you simply can't afford, and nothing's going to change next month or the month after that to where you can afford it. Students, it could be a boyfriend or girlfriend who takes way too much energy to keep the relationship going. Anybody ever been there? You know, it could be expectations you set for yourself that are just simply too high, and they're not necessary. You can accomplish all you need in life without that high of some of those expectations. Whatever keeps weight down on you, makes you look down instead of up towards God, whatever it is that keeps you from making Jesus the first thing, you may need to set aside or even throw overboard. I mean, you may need to sell the car and get something more affordable. You may need to sell the house and downsize and get in something where you can make the payments and not live with stress all the time. May need to cut up the credit cards. You may need to put the golf clubs a while. You might not need to sign your kids up for the next season. They don't have to play one sport year round. They don't have to play all the sports. They don't have to take lessons and everything. You don't have to do all those things. You may need to back off a little bit on your schedule. You may need to put the boat in dry dock. You may need to give the deer leash to your brother-in-law or your pastor. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't need that. I'm fine. I got all I need. Okay? You get the idea. You don't have to do everything you're doing. If it's making you concentrate on that, look upward. Put your focus on God. That needy boyfriend or girlfriend that's just taking up weight, I'm tempted to say, just send a text, say peace out, but I know that's not how you break up. Okay, I know that. The band all gave me a hard time. That's a faux pas. You don't do that. Okay, have a short conversation with them. Say, I'm done. Bye. Okay? Aim for one thing. Aim for one thing, and that's the kingdom of God. And Jesus promises. He promises, I'll take care of the rest. Listen, when God is first and everything else comes after that, Jesus will give you all you need from day to day today. You may not be able to see your needs being met next week or next month or certainly not next year, but he'll cover you for today. And tomorrow, he'll take care of you. And each day, you can trust him. The truth is, when we focus our heart on any number of things and Jesus becomes a priority way on down the line, what really is happening is that we're missing out. We're settling for so much less. We're worrying about making more things happen, but we're settling for so much less than Jesus wants to give us. And all that focus on secondary and tertiary things may do for us is just weigh us down and add stress and worry to our lives. We don't have to live that way. We just don't. Jesus has got your back. Listen, Jesus concluded his thoughts to his disciples with this. Verse 32, he said, because this is where some of you are. Fear. You're afraid. He said, don't be afraid, little flock. And he uses another example from nature, this time sheep. You ever know why Jesus described us as sheep often? It's one of his favorite examples of us in the church. Sheep are skittish creatures. Sheep frighten so easily and get freaked out about just about anything. And he's saying, don't be like the pagans. Don't be like sheep. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He's talking about some powerful things here. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be worried because the kingdom of God has everything we need. And to drive that point home that we have everything we need, he said this, verse 33. He said, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, I want to stop there because if you think about the context, who he's speaking to, it's kind of interesting. It's really interesting. Jesus told his disciples to sell their possessions, but they actually had few, if any, possessions to sell because they'd already left everything to follow him. Why did he say that to them? And Jesus didn't normally condemn having possessions. The only time he ever really told people that was when those possessions became a god to them. It became their all-consuming idol. Jesus said to his disciples, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. He's talking abstract now. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. In other words, nothing you have to worry about. This treasure is not treasure you have to protect. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's where your heart is. If it's pointed upward, Jesus will take the stress out. If it's pointed downward or inward, the stress adds. It wasn't and isn't. It never will be about having fewer things. What Jesus warned against was elevating those lesser things to a higher place of importance than they should have because of what it will do to our health and even more importantly, what it will do to our faith. Listen, I've seen this played out so many times. I have seen wealthy people make themselves ill about losing a fraction of their wealth, and it just drives them crazy. They lose sleep over it. And I have seen poor people, people that poor people call poor, fighting over trash like it's got any value. It's crazy. We're prone to wander. It's not a rich person, poor person thing. It's a heart thing. And don't miss a subtle point Jesus makes here. Because what he's saying is, not only focus on me, but an antidote to worry is generosity. That's what he meant when he told poor people, his disciples, to give to other poor people. He's saying set your heart outward as well. Set your heart upward on Jesus and outward. You remember Jesus said, love God, love others. That's the greatest commandment. Set your heart outward because generosity reduces stress and worry. When you're more concerned about other people than yourselves, it's amazing. You have less to worry about with yourself because your concerns are where God wants them to be. And he takes care of that. Maybe that's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. People who are generous, people who give all the time, they really have a lot less worries. And it's not just wealthy people who are generous. Some of the poorest people are some of the most generous. He's saying you don't have to worry about having enough food or clothes or anything else because you already have so much in the kingdom that you have stuff to spare. When I take care of you, Jesus says, you'll even have more that you can give away. You can be generous. And a fact of living that's as true as the law of gravity is that people who make service to God and others their life goal, they really don't have to worry about material things. I've found that to be true in my life over and over and over. My needs have always been more than taken care of serving as a pastor in churches. I've always had plenty of clothes to wear, and I've never missed a meal. But I haven't made a lot of money either. I haven't. And when our boys went off to college a few years ago, things got tighter than ever before. We did not have a college fund saved up for them, but we wanted to put them through school without taking on any debt. We had very little margin for anything, and we just hoped nothing would break. For several years, we drove old cars, and we had a leaky roof. I actually put a bucket in the attic. But God took care of us. God took care of us. Night after night, we prayed a really similar prayer. Every night, we just said, God, help us to trust you. Help us to pay all our bills. And help us to not become so inward focused that we stop being generous. Even if we don't have anything financially to give, help us to live generous lives. There was plenty to worry about during those years, but we didn't have to. And we didn't for the most part. We focused on God first. We kept our focus upward to him. And then we took care of our boys and our work. We worked hard during those years, still do. God met our needs. And he met their needs, our boys' needs, all the way till they finished college. Folks, he'll take care of your needs too. Whatever position, station you are in life, Jesus will take care of your needs if you set your heart on his kingdom. You can trust him. Let's pray. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I want to pray first for those of you that maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, how can I put my trust in Jesus? I'm not a follower of him. And I just want you to think about that. Have you become a follower of Jesus Christ? If you're sitting here thinking, man, this sounds like what I want, but tell me what to do next. I would encourage you to become a follower of Jesus Christ, to step over the line of faith and commit your life to Jesus Christ, asking to forgive your sins and to come in your heart and take control and to take that stress away and replace it with peace. I can lead you in a quick prayer right now that will help you to do that. If that's where your heart is, if you are ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ, just pray with me. Say, Jesus, I want you to take the stress out. I want to live in the peace that you say I can have. I believe you're God. I believe you died on a cross to pay for my sins. And I ask you to forgive my sins. Please take that weight off. But also, please come into my life and take the concerns of life away as well. Help me to focus on you and help me to trust and believe that you will have the rest. I ask that in Jesus' name. And for the rest of you, as you think, those of you that are Christ followers, I want you to pray too. I want you to pray that God will help you to really believe that you don't have to worry. That you don't have to live in stress. Even if all of your life seems to be falling apart, that God still has it and he can help you. Let me pray for you. God, we live real life. We have deadlines. We have bills to pay. We have sometimes kids that are doing things that we don't know what to do with them. We have legitimate things to be stressed about. But you say we don't have to live with worry. So God, show each and every one of us how we can focus on you, focus on your kingdom, and trust that you will help us meet our deadlines, maybe even deadlines that are hitting today. You will help us pay our bills. You will help us raise our children, maybe take care of our parents. You'll help us in our work or to find work. You'll help us in our relationships. Help us to trust you. We ask it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.